Welcome, and thank you for listening to the SMA Flash Briefing.
A study shows that cerebrospinal fluid samples from SMA patients treated with Spinraza revealed mild increases in protein content, and this was attributed to lumbar punctures used for testing and to the medication's delivery by injection into the spinal canal. Although Spinraza's administration seems to be safe and well-tolerated, the researchers recommend regular examinations of routine CSF parameters for people with SMA to screen for possible side effects. The study was called Routine Cerebrospinal Fluid CSF Parameters in Patients with SMA Treated with Nusinersen. It was published in the journal Frontiers in Neurology. Spinraza was the first therapy approved for treating SMA by both the US FDA and the European Medicines Agency. It also boasts several other firsts. For example, it's the first medicine that works by correcting defective RNA splicing and the first nucleic acid therapeutic for a neurological disease. However, because Spinraza is made up of small, synthetic, man-made molecules, it cannot cross the blood-brain barrier. This barrier protects neural tissue from toxins and pathogens. Therefore, the therapy must be administered directly into the cerebrospinal fluid by repeated lumbar punctures, and these are known as spinal taps. The researchers said that diagnostic evaluation of inflammatory or degenerative conditions involving the brain, spinal cord, and membranes that cover the brain and spinal cord is possible by combining a set of values referred to as CSF routine parameters. The cerebrospinal fluid is a clear, colorless liquid that surrounds and cushions the brain and spinal cord. Each person has about 150 milliliters of this fluid, and approximately 500 milliliters are produced each day. Hence, it is constantly being produced, circulated, and absorbed. Small amounts of blood proteins can diffuse into the CSF. Routine examinations of CSF parameters allow physicians to monitor the health and circulation of the CSF, brain, and spinal cord. Infection, inflammation, or diseases like multiple sclerosis do alter the normal values of white blood cells, protein, and lactate. They also can produce oligoclonal bands, which detect proteins called immunoglobulins that indicate central nervous system inflammation. In this study, the researchers examined the routine CSF parameters of 60 SMA patients. They were ages 7 to 60 and had SMA types 1, 2, and 3. CSF and serum samples were collected before the administration of Spinraza on treatment day, day 14, 28, 63, 180, 300, 420, and 540. Among the 60 participants, 9 received 8 injections of Spinraza, 17 received 7, 12 received 6, 10 received 5, and 12 received 4. A series of routine CSF parameters were analyzed. This included white cell count, total protein, lactate, oligoclonal IgG bands, and quotients of albumin. The CSF to serum albumin ratio, or QALB, is used to evaluate the permeability of the blood-brain barrier. The researchers did note that the results of this study cannot be extrapolated to other patient groups. The most consistent finding in patients was a mild increase in total protein and QALB with succeeding lumbar punctures. The sole exception was total protein at the fourth injection. According to the team, the slight change in total CSF protein and QALB may be caused by repeated lumbar punctures. In other words, it's due to the mild trauma that's produced by the lumbar puncture procedure itself. The researchers found an association between QALB and total protein at baseline in the SMA types 2 and 3 patients, and then higher levels of both parameters in the SMA type 3 subgroup. Researchers said that as clinical features vary widely between patients, especially in SMA type 3, they do speculate that the association of baseline total protein and QALB to SMA type is determined by age. One patient showed an increased white blood cell count. This was attributed to a coincidental systemic and meningitis viral infection, and this abnormal value then normalized. A 42-year-old SMA type 3 patient showed transient positive oligoclonal bands in the CSF. This indicated that the immune system has been activated. this screen can be especially valuable for the diagnosis of multiple sclerosis. The precise cause of OCBs in this patient could not be determined, but the researchers hypothesized that a reaction to an unidentified molecule, possibly including the medicine itself, could explain it. But overall, the study revealed that repeated intrathecal administration of the drug seems to be, in general, safe and well-tolerated. The data suggests that a systemic examination of routine injections is important to obtain information on possible side effects and to gain further insights into intrathecal processes.
Coming up next, perspectives from SMA News Today Forum's moderator, Deanne Runge.
Thanks for joining me. I'm Deanne Runge, SMA News Today Forum's moderator and vlogger. Lately, I've been seeing a lot of commercials promoting various smart home devices that you can voice activate. Most recently, a faucet, shower, and even a washing machine. Of course, for me, they're appealing for more than just convenience, as the commercials suggest. However, the price tags are usually well out of my range. As such, I have to evaluate these products and decide which will integrate with the products I already use and if they'll enhance my life. My family tends to roll their eyes at my affinity for smart devices. Having an Alexa device in practically every room in the house doesn't seem over the top to me. I even have a Google Home Mini as a backup. In conjunction with those, I use smart plugs, smart bulbs, a smart thermostat, and have my Open Sesame door opener voice activated. To control my television, I use my Amazon Fire Cube. I'm so used to having it, I have to check myself when I'm at my mom's not to tell it to adjust the volume on her TV. Have they made a voice-activated Keurig yet? I'd probably still have trouble putting the pods in, but if I had that done the night before, I could pretty much make a hot beverage whenever I chose. Have you guys tried any of the newer smart devices like the ones being advertised? Are they worth the investment? Are there any programs to assist with funding? The only program that I'm aware of is through an organization called NMD United. They have an assistive technology grant that can reimburse you for up to $200 in the cost of such devices. Another organization called Limited Mobility Solutions helped me get my door opener to be voice activated. They've also helped others make their beds voice activated so they can adjust their bed with their voice. What are some of your favorite smart home devices? Join the discussion over on our forums, smanewstoday.com/forums. Have a great day, everyone.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcasts and flash briefings can be found on our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Instagram and Facebook page as well. I'm Michael Morale, Senior Director of Multichannel Content for SMA News Today.